Let us bow to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. As we go into your word now, this exhortation on Thanksgiving, that you will anoint me afresh, help me speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that's upon me, upon the ears and the hearts of those who will hear me, both physically here present and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so your word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed, unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today is Thanksgiving, so let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Amen. You're certainly going to be doing a lot of clapping and shouting today. And as is our custom, you know, in the traditional churches, I don't know, this thought just came to me. They have this, what they call ikore. Ikore means harvest. But, you know, this is ikore of a sort, but it's actually Thanksgiving, you know. And God put this in my heart some years ago. And we've been doing it for quite a number of years now, to dedicate a Sunday just to thank God. We're not going to be preaching. Of course, there'll be some preaching about Thanksgiving. But the time that normally we would use for this message, you know, and the Bible study, was going to be fully dedicated just to thank God for his goodness and faithfulness to us in the year that we have just come out of, in which case now is 2023, and also to thank him in anticipation of his mercy, his goodness, and his faithfulness in this new year that we now find ourselves in of 2024. The concept of thanksgiving is crucial in our relationship with God, because fundamentally and foundationally, God is a person. See, God is not power. God is not anointing. God is not even wisdom. All those are attributes of him, things that emanate from him. But fundamentally, God is a person who has a mind, will, emotions. He lives in a body, even the spiritual body. Jesus, who is the second person of the Godhead, who ought to know, say, you have never heard his voice or seen his shape. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has a shape. So God is not something floating around in cloud nine, you know, somewhere in the cosmos. He has a shape. And you want to know his shape? Look at yourself. That's his shape. That this is how he's always been from eternity. God has a head. God has eyes. He has a mouth. He has a nose. He has hands. He has fingers. He has a torso, a waist. He has legs. He has toes. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that we were made in the image and the likeness. I like the word likeness because it's exactly like. That's why that word is there. It's not just image alone. It's not just, we don't have just the general form of God, you know. in his image and in his likeness. And so this is the person we're dealing with. God is three persons. The Father has his own body, shape, and mind, will, emotions. The Lord Jesus has his own mind, will, and emotions. The Holy Spirit has his own mind, will, and emotions. You find all of this in Scripture. It's scattered in Scripture, but it's all there. The Bible talks about, you know, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. He has, the Bible talk distinguishes between the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as God the Father. It says, if you say anything against the Father, if you say anything against the Son, he said, but if you say anything against the Holy Spirit, he said, it will not be forgiven you. You know, and the Bible talks about the Spirit wills. The Bible says, you know, it's given as the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has a will. Then you talk about God the Father. So if we ask anything according to his will, then you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I've not come to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So you can see each person of the Godhead has their own will, has their own mind, has their own emotions, and has their own body. And it's been like that from eternity. When they decided to create, make creation and make man, they now took on roles. You know, those titles, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are really what they are. They're titles. So Jesus is not the Son of God in the sense that Joshua Lubi is my son. You know, God didn't give birth to Jesus. He's always been there. But he took on the title Son because of the plan of redemption. The Holy Spirit took on the title Holy Spirit because of his role in the plan of redemption and their relationship to man. The Father took on the title Father, you know, as overseeing everything. You know, it was this by mutual agreement of all the three of them before they ever made anything. And in particular, before they put into motion the plan of redemption. Now, all of that is to say this. We're dealing with a person. We're dealing with persons. A person that has a mind, a will, and emotions, and we can understand them because we're made in their image. It's very easy to understand God. Understand yourself. And the way you will feel about something is the way God will feel about it, you know, because you're made in his image and his likeness. This brings us to this concept of thanksgiving. You know, even us as men, you know, if we do something for somebody, maybe you show them some act of kindness or you grant them a favor, you expect them to say thank you. When they don't do it, you feel robbed. You may not exactly, you know, the Yoruba people have a saying, they say, "Enta Ashorefu, Ti Odukwe, Bi Oleko," something. I don't know that, you know. But it's like somebody, a robber, who has come to deny you of something. Are you listening to me? Yeah, yeah. You know, the concept comes from God. Because, you see, God is a person. And he created the heavens and the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God. He made this marvelous physical body that man is just beginning to understand. We don't still fully understand it. You know, the doctors here will tell you. You know, the complexity of the human body this human body itself is a universe. Just me, like this, I'm a universe. You are another universe. Amen. If I had to go into your brain has 100 billion neurons. You know, your digestive system, you know, your DNA, they tell us that it's folded. If you were to stretch it out, as it will go from here to the moon. But it's all compacted inside you. You know? Look, That's why David, he didn't have the knowledge of biology and anatomy and physiology and biochemistry that we have today. But he had an insight. He said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You can't say it better than that. But it's a pregnant word, you know, how fearfully, how wonderfully, you know. So, and then we look at creation. We look at, you know, of course, I've talked about the heavens. Look at the mountains. Just this earth alone. This earth is just one tiny planet, you know. If you look at, we sang it, where we sing that beautiful hymn, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God. When I in awesome wonder, you know, and you look at the hills, the mountains, the grass, all the beautiful things, you know, that you see on the earth, the rivers, and oh gosh, you know, sometimes you view what you know creation, and you're out of breath, you know, say wow. You know, I remember sometimes, you know, when I traveled to some places occasionally, I think I did this in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro, this many, many years ago, over 20-something years ago. And I think I also did it in Hawaii, my wife and I. You know, I took a helicopter ride because sometimes I just don't have the time to drive all over the place. You know, it takes too long and I have to pray. So sometimes I just take a... If that service is available, I will take a helicopter, you know, I've done it twice, you know, and they'll just take me around the whole island. So you have a aerial view of where the place is. You see it in a map on a paper, but then you actually see it, you know, physically. And you wonder at the glory of God. And his wisdom and his power of putting all of this together, you know, it takes your breath away, you know, when you look at the beauty of creation and all that God has done. And because of all of that, God expects you to appreciate the wisdom. Everybody say the wisdom. The power. Everybody say the power. And the goodness, everybody say goodness, that God put in to do all of these things. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You cannot overemphasize it. That's why one of my favorite songs and hymns, the choruses that we sing these days, you know, I just love it because it captures what I'm saying. It says, you know, we worship him because of who you are. You know, most people worship God because he gave them, you know, some money or, which is okay. That's okay. But I think it's even more important to worship because of who he is. It is who he is that makes him do what he does. So even though you should thank him for what he does, you should actually more fundamentally thank him for who he is. It's his character and the kind of person that he is that now makes him do what he does. And so we thank him because primarily of who he is and all these wonderful things, you know, that God has done and is still doing. He hasn't stopped. He's still creating. He's still sustaining the universe. The scripture says, I think it's in the book of Hebrews, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. You know? And the consideration of these things. The Yorubas also have another beautiful saying, which I find very, very, very instructive. It says, Entoba monuro amokweda. And the translation of that is that the person who knows how to think deeply and reflect will be the person who will be able to express proper gratitude. You know, most people, they don't think deeply, you know, and they forget easily what God has done. But if you're somebody who is, by the grace and the mercy of God, reflective, if you do what the scripture says, which is to meditate. To meditate means to think. Part of it means to talk, to mutter, and also to think what you are muttering. You know? So if you think deeply, you will begin to appreciate the kind of person God is from all that He has made. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 1, I cannot say it better. The Holy Spirit captured, through Paul, captured, He says, for the invisible things of Him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. This scripture is going to send a lot of people to hell. It's going to be used on Judgment Day. I'm sure this is one of the main things that God... You know, people begin to make, oh, nobody told me, you know, they didn't preach to me, you know, I never knew about this. Oh, I lived in 1500 in Africa. The missionaries hadn't yet come. Nobody had told me. They would all bring the scripture out. And, you know, this scripture got me born again. One of them, around that time. Because I never read it before. You know, the devil is a silly fellow. You know what he does? When they teach us Bible study, because I did BK. We used to call it Bible knowledge. When I was in secondary school, they make you, you know, you do some of the Gospels, you know. I think it's Luke. You do Luke, and then you do Acts of the Apostles. So they just left out Romans. Because Jesus says that if they study Romans, they will get born again. But that's what happened to me. I got born again studying Romans during my youth call. I can never forget this scripture. I said, my conscience was struck. And I agreed with the author. I don't have an excuse. And then, you know, having a scientific background in physics and engineering and all of that, you know, it was even more pronounced for us. You know, we are going to say, to whom much is given, much is required. We who are educated are in bigger trouble. If I can use that expression, you know, more is demanded than the uneducated man who doesn't know. You know, if there is anybody that should fear God, is a doctor. When you look at the physical body and the way it operates, you know, hormones, then all those things, they operate with time. There's something I'm studying now in one of my... I have a book on computer that I'm brushing myself up on, you know, and looking at... There's this thing, they call it biokinetics, you know, and we... that is how the kinetic comes from the word motion, like kinetic energy. So biokinetics is talking about the motion of the biochemistry of the physical, in the physical organs. You put in something into the liver, or you put in a drug, then you see how the drug, you know, moves, you know, and everything has to do with time. Those things can actually. I was all shaking my head. I said, "We are in trouble if we don't submit to God," you know. You can simulate all of those things by using differential equations, which is in mathematics. And then you do it with a computer. Then you can, you know, simulate it and say, okay, if I put this amount, if I put 10 milligrams, 1 milligram of the drug, this is the effect it's going to have on the liver. This is the effect it's going to have on the heart. This is the effect. And you simulate all of that, you know, before, as you make the... They do use it in pharmacy and biochemistry and all of that. Who did that? Let's give those a super clap offering, somebody. Today is Thanksgiving. For the invisible things of Him. See, I can't see God with my physical eyes because He's a spirit and He's operating above the speed of light. So He's presence and His reality is not perceptible to my physical senses. But that does not do away with the fact that He is there. All these things I can see are the evidence of an intelligent creator. And he tells me here that for me to refuse that, I don't have an excuse. I'm just being downright dishonest. And that kind of dishonesty will damn the soul to hell. That's why, if you look in the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, 21, 20, it says, you know, the great white throne judgment. It says, and I saw all of the dead, you know, small and great, stand before God. A great white throne judgment. And I said, and the books were opened. Observe the word books is in plural. And another book, which is the book of life. And it says, and the people were judged out of the things that were written inside the book. It's going to be one of them. Now, when you start making excuses, God will just start bringing out all the records. And then they'll play back. They have a videotape. they freeze your thought. You know? Yes. From the day you were born to the day you died. And it's going to be a very fair trial. Because God is a just God. That's another part of his character. Very just. The Bible says, I was reading this yesterday in my Bible reading, you know, judgment and justice are the habitation of his throne. And that's why God is very straightforward, though. He does not even excuse his own self. He said that thou may be justified when thou art judged. Even judge himself will be judged. Can you believe it? Let's give him another super clap offering. You know, because God is fair. He's just. God himself will be judged. That's why God seems to be very careful about what he says and what he does. The Bible says that thou mayest be justified when thou... So God himself will be judged. His thoughts, his actions, how did he treat Abraham? How did he treat Edom? How did he treat Ishmael? How did he treat all of them? You know, and they'll bring the record out. And we who are saints, who are also, let me blow your mind. Do you know what your name is in the Bible? You know, it's Elohim. God is just the first three persons of the Godhead are the original Elohim. So what they did was to make man in their image, and they made a lot of Elohim. That's why in the book of Psalm 82, it says, you know, I said ye are gods, Elohim. Elohim is plural, you know, which just means gods, like, you know, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, gods. It's not God. It's not a singular person. It's gods. Elohim made the heavens and the earth. So God now made other Elohim. The Bible says, you know, it's in Psalm 80 something, somewhere in there. It says, when he stands among the Elohim. So what happens is that each person, this may sound like, you know, blasphemy to the religious mind, but it is the truth. You know, each person, each Elohim, his actions and so on is going to be judged by all the other Elohim. There's going to be like a council. So the Father too will come. We'll see what he did. The Son too will come. We'll see what he did. Yes. So the Holy Ghost will come. We'll also see what he did. Then they will now start with you people too. That's why I said that thou mayest be justified when thou art judged. That's why he watches over his word to perform it. That's why he's careful. That's why I told you, be swift to hear, be slow to speak, and to slow to wrath. He too is like that. Because he's very, you know, God. Because he knows that whatever he says and does, there is a day's reckoning is going to come where he's going to give an account just like you. But he'll be justified. You see, because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's always known he defined good and evil. Watch this. Look at the kind of person we're talking about, Thanksgiving. But you see, we have to understand the person we're giving thanks to. You know, God, before he made anything, before the three persons of the Godhead made anything, they set down the ground rules. Are you listening to me? On which creation was going to operate. The laws of physics and engineering, all of that, God did. Then the moral laws, the legal laws, the legal system, everything was agreed by the three persons of the Godhead. Then they set creation into motion. They themselves are subject to those laws. They don't violate those laws. Hello, somebody. Say, God is not a man that you should lie, neither the son of man that you should repent. He said he has magnified his word above his name. Let's give him another clap offering. You know, immaturity, spiritual immaturity, does not allow us to know God properly. That is why, by the grace and the mercy of God, I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me, you know, as we grow spiritually, as I've been growing spiritually, I can get to know him better. It's just like a little child. You know, little children know their parents facially. So if you carry a five-year-old, even a seven-year-old, oh, no, that's not my daddy, this is my daddy. So they know, but they don't know. There's still so many things about their parents they don't know. They don't understand they don't know, because of their level of growth. They don't know their character. They don't know their power. They don't understand the financial assets, you know, that their parents have. Spiritually, it's the same thing. That's what Paul meant when he said that I may know him. He knew him already, but he wanted to know him more, to know him better. Then, you know, there's an ultimate, it's an amazing scripture. He said, then shall you know even as I am known. Hiya, Casa Fredes. This is God. Let's give him another clap offering. Today is Thanksgiving. You won't get tired of clapping. Don't your neighbor say, I just started. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He said, then shall I know. In other words, there's a place in spiritual maturity you can get to where you will know God as well as God knows you. Uh-huh. Is there? You know, 1 Corinthians 13, which is the great chapter on love, the last part of it is actually talking about growth. We you know, the carnal mind has delegated that thing to heaven. You know, now where we are at, we're seen through a glass darkly, but when we get to heaven, we'll see face. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual growth. Because if you look at the context, he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, said, I knew as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, so when you become a spiritual adult in your spiritual growth and maturity, watch this. And you actually get to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. When you get there, then you will know even as he is known. That's what he's talking about. Yeah. So then shall I know, even as I am known. Ah, you will not understand why God can't do this. There are many things, you know, they come to Jesus, the sons of thunder. I like those two boys, James and John. And they're very ambitious, very ambitious spiritually. But at that time, in the wrong direction, then Jesus had to correct them. So they go to their mommy, you know, their mommy. These are some of the people who support Jesus. So they know Jesus has a lot of respect for mommy. So if Jesus says no to them, he won't say no to mommy. So the mommy comes and says, I have something to ask you. He said, ah, mommy, what do you want? He said, these are my two boys. How boy is a bad girl. Let them sit on your left hand and your right hand in the kingdom. Jesus, I can imagine the twinkle in his eye. He said, you don't know what you're asking. He said, can you drink of the cup which I will drink and be baptized in the baptism which I'll be baptized? I said, yes. He said, okay. You will. And they did. Both of them. You know? He said, however, even with that, he said, it is not mine to give. He says, that's what shows you again the difference between the Father and the Son. You're dealing with two persons. He says, it's not mine to give. He said, it will be given to those which is prepared by my Father. Jesus understood. He knew God, you know, that God just doesn't do things. I mean, like I've said many times over the years when I preached on that, you know, if James and John take the left and the right, then what's going to happen to Joseph and Enoch and some of the other, what I call super saints? And there are lots of them. There are lots of them. I'm going to be, this year, I told you God downloaded a lot of messages to me. I can probably last up to half the year, if not beyond that, you know. We're going to be looking at what I would call super saints. You're going from Enoch to Noah. Yeah, and that's why they're all recorded in the Bible. Don't miss next Sunday's message. I'm going to be talking about keeping the testimonies of God. So God too has testimony. You know, you like to give your testimony. Where God too has given his own testimony. And then he expects you to keep it, but don't let me go there tonight. What I'm saying is this. We're dealing with a person who is a very upright, forthright person. He is not a hypocrite. The laws he gave us to live by are the same laws he lives by. You have to understand that. God walks in love like everybody, like he tells everybody else to. You know, God himself is subject to his own laws. That is why the Bible says he has magnified his word above his name. God is no respecter of persons, including himself. I'm going to repeat that. God is no respecter of persons, including himself. He didn't treat the Lord Jesus any different than he would treat any of us, even though he was God. Jesus was subject to the same laws. He was subject to the same limitations that every human being is subject to. He was given the same Holy Spirit that you've been given. Given the same Bible. In fact, you have a more complete Bible than Jesus had. Jesus only had the Old Testament. And back in those days, people couldn't afford to have their own personal copies. So he only heard it when he went to the synagogue, like everybody else. It was out of that reservoir that he was able to draw out what God was telling him. What am I saying? I'm saying thanksgiving is to a person. The Lord said this to me some time ago. He said, you cannot thank a principle, even though principles are very important. You cannot thank power. It hasn't got a personality. I can't thank the wind. I can't thank the sun. That's what the heathen do. Are you listening to me? They're inanimate. Do you understand? Yes, the sun has given me heat. It's given me light, you know, to be able to, you know, my crops will grow and all of that. But I'm not going to start worshiping the sun. Why? The sun is not a person. You only thank a person. Turn to your neighbor and say, you only thank a person. That is why you have to thank God. He's a person. And that's why you thank your friend. You thank your husband. You thank your wife. Because they are persons who are made in the image and the likeness of God. You don't go and start thanking a lizard. I don't know where that came from. You know? Or thanking a frog. Or thanking a whale. You know, these people who thank Mami Water and, you know, the heathen, our thinking has been so warped by Satan. Where we thank a person. So, thanksgiving is a spiritual and physical sacrifice to bless and to refresh God. The Bible talks about this. Look at Psalm 50. That foundation was so necessary because, see, until you understand you're dealing with a person, you can't understand Christianity. And one of the problems we faith people fell, traps we faith people fell into, is that we began to understand the principles of God confession, you know, positive confession, speaking the word, praying in tongues, and all those things are correct. They are principles and they work. But you see, there is a power behind what makes all those principles work. And that power emanates from a person. So you can't just work a formula that and disconnect with the person that is releasing the power that is causing the formula to work. Yes, there is a formula. Yes, there are laws. Yes, there are principles. There's spiritual law. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law. Yes, it's true. But the life that makes that law work comes from a person. And that person is a righteous person. He is an honest person. He is an upright person. Now, if you disconnect with his personality, the power that is causing the law to work will cease, and the law will no longer work, even though you may work it. So you can make the confession. You can pray in tongues. You can do all the things. You can say, I confess my sins and I clean with the blood of Jesus. All of that are principles that work because they emanate from the power that's given by the person. So I have to be in sync with the heart of the person for the formula to work. That's why in the recent thing I taught us in church, making more room for Jesus, I put number one as cleaning with your heart, with honesty and humility of heart, and worshiping God. Because if you don't connect with the person, all the other things don't work. And we Pentecostals, you know, and Word of Faith people, we've become so enamored with the principles and disconnect from the person. So many times we forget, you know, that there's a person and just think that, you know, so you hear people saying, you know, my faith. Your faith in what? See, a lot of people have faith in their faith. Is it because my faith has worked, you see? So my faith, I've used my faith to get a car. And I've used my faith to go to America. And I've used my faith to get a visa. And I've used my faith to do this. I've used my faith to heal. And I've used my faith. And all of that is not wrong, you know. And all that time when you did all of that, God backed your faith with many times even his sovereignty. Sometimes you weren't even in connect. He just did it, you know, out of his mercy and his kindness to let you know that those things work, which is what happened to us in the faith message. Then what happened is that after we've done that for some time, we now, instead of having faith in God, we now put faith in our faith. I have faith in my faith. No, you should not have faith in your faith. You should have faith in God who makes your faith work. Big difference. And when you have faith in your faith, you know what you become? Arrogant. Your knowledge of faith puffs you up. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. But charity, who is charity? A person. God is love. A person. He says he edifies. So once I disconnect, once you disconnect with who God is and his character, you totally disconnect, you know, from the power that will cause all the other principles and formulas. And they are formula. What is a formula? A formula is just a mathematical expression of a principle, you know, to work. And we need to know all those principles. We need to know all the formulas. We need to know how things work. All that is important in its place. But if I disconnect with the person that is behind all of those things, then, to use the famous words of Apollo 13, we got a problem. And truly, the church today has a problem. Because most Christians, their knowledge of God as a person and his personality is very superficial. We do have some knowledge of God, but most of it is babyish. It's childish. Just, you know, we just know we know what God, you know, can do and all of that, and we come to our churches and our services trying to make Him do something for us, which is not wrong. It's just that there's something deeper than that. You know, you first have got to get to know the person and understand him, his principles, you know, the kind of person he is. It's when that is in place. That's why the first thing that came out of my mouth, when you pray, say, "Our Father." What is a father? A person. That's the first thing. "Which art in heaven." In other words, he's my father, but I can't see him. He's not here. He's in heaven. "Then hallowed be thy name." Holy is your name, his character. Then all the other things, "Thy kingdom come," all the other things, you know, "forgive us." All those ones are formulas. But the first thing connect is this. So the Bible tells us, look at Psalm 50. Who's still on my side? Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me. Psalm 50. There we go. And if you look at verses 13-14, it says, let's read from verse 12. It says, "If I were hungry, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine." Let's give him a clap offering for that. You know, God's database is immense. And that is an understatement. He's someone who knows everything. That's why he's omniscient. There is a rock now that is falling down a boulder from some hill in Mars. God knows it. You don't. And he knows the speed with which it is falling. And then he does that for every planet. "I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you." And he can never be hungry because everything comes from him. "The world is mine and the fullness thereof. Glory be to God. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High." What God is saying to them is this. This was in the Old Testament. All these animal sacrifices, I was one who instituted them. I just did them as a interim before Jesus came, you know, where you, and it's a show, it's an expression of your love and your dedication and your faith in me. So you kill a bull, you kill a goat and all of that. He said, "But I'm not going to eat that." He said, "What I really want is thanksgiving." Why? Because thanksgiving is spiritual. You cannot give God some physical thing to satisfy him. And so, we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, am I talking to anybody here? 1 Peter chapter 2, still on my side. Good. Right. So he's now contrasting the physical animal sacrifices of the Old Testament with the spiritual sacrifices of the New Testament. He says, "You also," I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you, folks. I didn't hear you. "As living stones," now where we get living stone from, "are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood," contrast with the priesthood of the Aaron and the Levitical priest, you know, the Aaronic priesthood, "to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ." This contrast between the physical sacrifices of the animal, killing of animals, and this spiritual sacrifice. This one is from our heart. It's from our lips. Through our lips, rather. It's from our hearts, not from our lips. It's from our heart, through our lips. If you remember the illustration, I'm not going to go there, you know, where we taught, you know, on Zoe and Dunamis and all of that, and how the life of God comes, and it comes, you know, it comes like through an internal tube inside your inner man, then it comes up you know, into the head of the inner man, and there is an overflow pipe that comes from your mouth. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what God likes. You know why? That's what He's made of. That's what He made you of. So the only thing that can refresh Him is what is He put inside you that is like Him. Okay, let me give you a little clap offering. Hebrews chapter 13. Who's still on my side? Look at verse 15. By Him, therefore, talking about the Lord Jesus, this is Paul writing a short word of exhortation. And the man writes the book of Hebrews of 13 powerful verses, that chapters that man is still unraveling. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of what? It was a praise to God occasionally. That is, He defines it. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So, something is coming out of you. It's a spiritual substance in the form of praise and thanksgiving. And when it hits God, when it gets to God, it adds to Him. It refreshes Him, because it was what came out of Him to make you. And this is the reason why thanksgiving is so important. It actually refreshes God in the same way that food refreshes you physically. You go out, you eat, you know, then you expend energy. You go, you work, you labor, maybe you're in the sun and all of that. Then you're feeling, you know, exhausted. Then you come into the house, then you take a cup of water. You take a soft drink. You eat some food. Then your body feels refreshed, because the water and the drink and the food, watch this, Pastor Williams, is made of the same substance that your body is made of. That is why it is only a spiritual sacrifice that can refresh God, because it's the same substance of which God is made of. Because God is a spirit. That is why physical sacrifices will never satisfy God. They're good, they have their place, but they will never satisfy God. And some smart guys, some honest guys in the Old Testament captured it. In particular, David. David came to that, even though he was in the Old Testament, he understood. He says, I would offer up. He said, but I know that. He said, but a humble and a contrite heart you will not despise. He knew that, you know, all this animal sacrifices and, you know, all these things that we're doing, that's not the McCoy, so to speak. It's not a real deal. Another person that got to understand that was Daniel. You know, I preached many years ago on Joseph had no Bible, and the corollary of that one is Daniel had no temple. Daniel had no animal sacrifices. He was in Babylon. So there was no temple. There was no place for animal sacrifices. How then was he pleasing to God? Because he was offering up spiritual sacrifices. The Bible says Daniel prayed 3 times a day. So he was giving to God a spiritual substance from his heart. And that refreshed and satisfied God. You can now understand the scripture, Pastor Wally. You know what it says? He says, I tell you, woman, that neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. He said, for God is a spirit, and they that worship Him, watch this, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Talking about this honesty, talking about knowing the character, talking about connecting with God. then he says something. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Amen. That's what God's looking for. That's what satisfies him. He seeks it. Just like you need food and you need water and fluids to refresh your physical body, God needs thanksgiving and praise to refresh his spirit. If you didn't get that, I don't know what else you get. Hallelujah. And you see this in Luke chapter 24. Who's still on my side? Luke 24. And where in the world are we? Verse 53 is the last verse. I remember reading the scripture as a young Christian, and the thought occurred to me. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit, you know. He says, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And I asked myself the question. The thought came to me, how can a man bless God? Like, in fact, the book of Hebrews said that without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Man is lower than God. How can man then bless God? It was years later I got to understand that, yes, we actually bless God by giving him praise and worship. It refreshes him, just like food and water refresh the physical body. Praise and worship refresh the spirit of God. It's the same substance he's made of. Are you listening to me? You need to understand that. So you have to go beyond religion and just, you know, just doing something out of rote and out of, you know, that's the way they do it. No, you have to understand that you're dealing with a person, and as you pray and as you say thank you, you're ministering a spiritual substance to him that is refreshing him. So I say, can God be refreshed? The answer is yes. Look at Exodus chapter 31. Who's still on my side? Exodus chapter 31. And look at verse 17, even though he's talking about the Sabbath. But this is a very revealing scripture about the reality of the person of God. He tells us about the Sabbath, but there's an expression there that's very... He says, it'll be a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For 6 days, the Lord made the heaven and the earth. And on the seventh day, he was what? The question is, does God get tired? Not exactly, but he expends energy. And when you give it back to him, it refreshes him, just like you, in the physical. In the spirit, God expects refreshing. And praise and worship, I'm going to qualify it. When it is properly done, when it comes out of a heart that is honest and sincere and has understanding, that's why it says, they that worship him must worship him not only in spirit, but also in truth. In other words, if the heart is not right, then the praise and worship will not be of a good quality and it will not refresh him. That's why it's so important. That's why, for me, you know, I've done it over the years, but the more I know God, the more I prioritize it, and the more important it is to me. No matter how much I pray, and I do pray by the grace and the mercy of God, you know I have to give God that time of pray, of worship, of praise to refresh him. Because all the other prayers is taken from him. In Jesus' name, I have life. I'm drawing life from him. Amen. I pray in tongues. I'm drawing life from him. Which is, he doesn't mind. He likes it. You know, he does it. He helps help us and everything. But what am I giving back to him? The only thing I can give him that will make him refreshed is praise and worship. And why? Because I'm made in his image and his likeness. Only man and some angels to some degree can minister to God. Other creation, oh, the other creation, yeah, they too can sing and all of them, but it's not the same. Because you know why? They're not Elohim. What we give to God is on the same level as the three persons of the Godhead because we are Elohim. If you understand the scriptures and if you understand the mystery of Christ, which is what I'm talking about, you will understand that the body of Christ is just an extension of the Godhead. The religious mind will just, wow, Pastor Lubi, that's blasphemy. No. Pure Bible. That's what Jesus said. I said, you are gods. An extension of the Godhead. So that they may be one even as we are one. What God did was he took from the three persons of the Godhead some of the Zoe in the Father, some of the Zoe in the Lord Jesus, some of the Zoe in the Holy Spirit. I use the word Zoe deliberately to mark your thinking. If I said life, you know, you'd be thinking about some funny things on this earth. But we're talking about Zoe, what is inside God that makes God God. In him was, you know, as the Father hath life in himself. The thing, the Zoe, the life that is inside the three persons of the Godhead and made us. That's why we are spirits. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. It was some of the Zoe that was inside each person of the Godhead, you know, was they contributed, you know, each person gave. That's why, watch this scripture. In him, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. How can he be God and with God? It means there's more than one person. Are you getting it? You know, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. What did God do? The Word gave some of his life. But it was not only him. The Father gave some of his life. The Holy Spirit gave some of his life. Then they took all of that life and they made Kule, and made Boega, and made Laulu, and made Rhoda. So each of you has a part of God in him. So when you praise and worship God, you are taking a part of what God gave you, and you're giving it back to him. And because he expended energy to give it to you, you are refreshing him. That is the truth. Now how, as we begin to round up, how do you praise and worship God? You do it in two ways. You do it in the understanding with your language that you understand from your heart, which is very precious to him. Then you also do it in the spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Today is Thanksgiving. And that's why we're giving this teaching so that we understand what we're doing. We're not just here for religion. You know, it's not just the traditional ikore of the traditional churches. And there's nothing wrong with that ikore. It's fine, actually. You know, because harvest. And because you harvest and then you come and thank God for the fruit of the ground. The yam and the corn and all the things that you have, which is fine, you know, and it's correct, you know, but all of that should actually be done in this manner. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14, still on my side. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. What is it then? I didn't hear you. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. This second part is so important. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? Seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other person who is standing by, who doesn't have understanding, is not edified. In other words, you give thanks to God with your understanding, English, Yoruba, whatever your natural language is. Then you also give thanks to God in tongues, in a language that the three persons of the Godhead understand. You are expressing your gratitude to Him at a depth that is deeper than any human understanding can express. The hymn writer says, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Well, he gave it to us. Tongues. He gave it to us. The man was, back in those days when those hymns were written, they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. So his heart was longing for a way to be able to say thank you to God. Oh, for 1,000. Then God said, here it is. Here's 1,000 tongues. That's why thanking God in tongues is so important. It's not enough to thank Him in the understanding. There are things that God has done and is doing in the spirit realm that your understanding doesn't know. So what the Holy Spirit does is that He articulates those invisible realities and then helps you to express it to God to thank Him. And watch this. And they do it for each other. Correction, one another. Because there are three. Many Christians don't realize this. See, when you're praying in tongues, it's not you who is praying. It's the Holy Spirit who is giving you the utterance. Observe the utterance. But who is actually doing the talking? Who is supplying the words? The other two persons of the Godhead. He said he will not speak of himself. But whatever he hears from who? Hears from Jesus. Hears from the Father. And then it revolves around. Because if you are thanking the Holy Spirit, do you understand? The Father and the Son will express it. If you are thanking the Son, the Father and the Holy Spirit will express it. If you are thanking the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit will express it. Because they know what is going on in the realm of the Spirit that you don't know. Then they give you an utterance that will help you to say it properly. Oh, let's give them a super clap offering. This God, eh? You know, we sing this song. I know we sing it religiously. This kind God, oh, I never see your type. Oh. And it's very true. You know, the thing about it is, you know, we sing those songs out of, there are no types of God. You know, we're talking from an African human point of view, because there be gods many. That's the background from which we're talking. You know, there's Mami Wata, there's Shopono, there's Ogun, there's all this. You know, there be lords many and gods many. So when we say this time God do, I never, he's comparing blasphemously God to these vanities. No basis for comparison. Oh, another clap offering for the Lord. Everybody stand to your feet. Give the Lord, stand to your feet. Just, we're going to do a lot of that today, but because of what I've just said, no basis for comparison. You know, it's a lack of understanding.
So we don't, I know our heart is right. We're just thanking God. But there's no other type.
Sit down.
You know what God said in the Bible? In somewhere, he said, I have looked. God is a very interesting person. He said, I've looked. I think it's Isaiah 46, somewhere in there. He said, I've looked all over. He said, there's none like me. So how can I say this type God who I never type ke? Arifi? Olorun o legbe. I'm saying it in my language deliberately. God does not have anybody to compare with. He's unique. It's an insult to try and compare him with anything. So it's still okay to sing that song, but it's important to have understanding. You know? Oh, yeah. We're dealing with somebody who is in a class of his own. And the only thing that remotely comes close to him is you and I. That's what makes us special. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. Not even angels are as close to God as we are. Someone said, you mean Holy Michael and Holy Gabriel? Yes, Holy Michael and Holy Gabriel. They're not as close to God as we are in terms of makeup. They too are like God to some degree, but not like us. Say, Pastor Olubi, how do you get all of this revelation? That you now understand that is the answer to this prayer. That God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Watch this. In the knowledge of Him. So this is what God is like. I said it some months ago. Olorun ma nsegbe wa. That means that God is not our rank. We're like Him, but He's still so many orders of magnitude higher than us in terms of wisdom, in terms of character, in terms of power. What He has done and still doing, for which we're eternally grateful, is that He just takes a measure of that wisdom gives us. He takes a measure of that love gives to us. He takes a measure of that power gives to us. So we are like Him, but we will never be Him. Like someone said, God is God. Don't mix it up. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, I got to close. I've been blessed. So that's why we do it in tongues. So it's not enough to do it in English or in Yoruba or your natural language. You do that. Then you say, I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding. I will do it with my understanding. Then I also do it in the spirit. Because there are depths of thanksgiving that my understanding cannot fathom. But the Holy Spirit or the other two persons of the Godhead, they can get it. Then since I'm doing it with my free will, it's, I will. You understand? So it's not God praising Himself. It's God praising Himself through our willingness to praise Him. Then He does it in the Spirit. So it's actually us who is doing it. He's only helping us to do it because we don't know all we should know to give Him thanks. Well, if you can get that, get it. Hallelujah. Closing. In addition to doing in the understanding, you know, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, it says, watch in the same with thanksgiving. You thank God, you know, with tongues. You thank Him with your words. You thank Him with your thoughts. I'm seeing that more and more now. I'm thanking God all the time.
you know, all the time. So I just see something nice. I say, oh, Lord, thank you for that. You know, thought comes to my mind. I say, Lord, have mercy. Thank you for that. You know, it's 24/7. So in addition to all of this, we also do it physically with clapping and dancing. Look at Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Who's still on my side? I hope you've learned something today. I know most of you already know all of this anyway. Isn't it amazing how you will hear the same scripture and then the thing goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And there's no end to God. No wonder why it says everlasting. It lasts forever. Psalm 47, and look at verses 1 and 2. To the chief musician. How are my musicians here? Okay. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. It's interesting. That's revelation right there. This was this design of these people who rebelled against Moses. See how God honored these guys. You know? In fact, Moses said to him, he said, oh, you sons of Korah. He said, God has given you the priesthood. He has given you. They were the people who were carrying all the things, all the furniture of the tabernacle. They were in charge of the praise and worship. He said, must you desire the... I need telorum. In our language, that means a lack of contentment. This Korah, same Korah, and the ones who brought rebellion against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Where else they had been given the ministry of praise and worship, you know, and honoring God in the tabernacle. It doesn't get better than that. May God have mercy on us. A psalm for the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands. I didn't. Thank you. Thank you. I like people who obey the Bible. I did not write that scripture. I wish I did, but I didn't. Let's say it again. Oh, clap your hands. Uh-huh. I didn't hear you. Oh, clap your hands. All ye people. I noticed he didn't say some of you people. You know, some of us, we get so spiritual and we have become so big, the clapping is for children. Humility. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Too big to clap. But we're not done yet. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I didn't write the Bible. Not only are we to clap, we are to shout. So by the end of this service, your throat will be hoarse. You know? Why? Because you have been shouting. And you know God is watching. You don't know God. Remember Jesus at the temple? He stood by the as people were bringing their... The Lord can be very interesting. You know, I love him so much. You know, the guy bring the offering, look at his face. You do his head like this. He knows what's in their hearts. And he knows how much the guy has at home. Bible says he stood by. Then when they finished the service, he called his apostles. He said, Then one widow came. Now I'm putting two mites. He said, you see this widow? Only Jesus could do that. You know, you have to have that kind of authority and revelation. He said, she has given more than all these others. He said, for they gave out of their abundance. But she has cast in all her living. Let's take it to praise and worship. That's physical offering. Spiritual offering. You know, he's watching. How is he saying thanks? How is he shouting? How is he clapping? How is he dancing? There was a guy, you all know him, his name is David. He brought the ark back to Jerusalem. We're going to talk about him in a minute, you know, and they were sacrificing every six paces from the house of Obed-Edom. You know, the sacrifice. David was so thrilled that he could honor God and that God honored him to be able to do it in his reign and his lifetime. Do you believe that Saul reigned for 40 years and it never occurred to him to bring the ark back? The ark had been lost from the time of Eli. It had been lost. When they lost it in battle, that's where we get the name Ichabod. That the glory departed. This 100, maybe 100, 150 something years. So, you know, the ark was not in Israel. All through, God made Saul king. It never occurred to Saul, to bring the ark back. But when David became king, one of the first things he said, he called the people, look, let us bring the ark back. So when David brought it back, the Bible says he danced with all his might. I want to see how he would dance today. That's what we'll be talking now. God will be watching how you are dancing today. He said he danced, he took off his kingly robes and he put on a linen ephod. And he danced with all his might, so much so that the daughter of Saul, you will not be a daughter of Saul in Jesus' name. He came from the lineage of her father. Despised her in his heart. Say, look at the king of Israel. How he just, and he wasn't naked. No, he was just that, you know, he took off his kingly robes. Because you can't dance in Agbada. You have to take the thing off so you can gyrate properly. Hello, somebody. So that's what David did. He just took off the, you know, the kingly garment and all of that. So, and then he was just wearing like a short, you know, a linen ephod. And the girl was angry because of pride. Says, see how the king of Israel, you know, he displays himself in front of all the girls. And all the people, you know. David was so angry. Both Loro. When you talk nonsense, God will answer you. David said, it was God who put me in place of your father. He says, I will even be more vile in my own eyes. And of those handmaids that you have spoken about, I will have half of them in honor. And the Bible says she did not have any child on the day of her death. Be careful what you say. You know, and what's wrong in praising God? You know, I noticed that thing over the years. We're going to close in a minute. I noticed that thing over the years. The more so-called, because I don't agree with it, so-called mature, the men of God, you know, you see all these big men of God, you see them, during prison watch, they'll be sitting down. You know, all that is for small people. You know? Yes! You don't see them praising God with enthusiasm like maybe they used to do when they were younger. They think it's just for the, you know, for the younger people. You know, you don't see them, you know, sometimes they may hold a tambourine, but it's not the same thing. Hello? You know, where you are enthused, you really passion. Thank you. You passionately thank God because you are in love with Him, because you appreciate Him, and you thank God. You clap, you shout, you sing, you dance. Never outgrow it. Never think.
That's why the Bible says, you know, the prayer I taught us, I remain small in my own sight relative to God. Never think you've got to the place where you and God are, you are getting. So, you know, the shouting and the singing is for the small children, you know, but we have become more like God, you know. We don't need to do all of that. No. So we're supposed to not only clap and, you know, we're supposed to dance. Where's that scripture? In 2 Samuel chapter 6, look at verse 14. Silly girl, Michael. You know, interesting, you know, people read their Bible, even though they behave as if they don't. All my years, I've never met any Michael. Have you ever met a Michael? Have you met an Absalom? Mbori? Even people who don't know the Bible, they don't name their children Absalom or Judas. And they're not wrong with the name Judas. It's a good name. It's just that it's the guy who did something that was bad. You know? Everybody say, and David danced before the Lord with some of his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to dance today with all my might because I appreciate God. I'm going to close soon. Look at, there's one more, two more scriptures. Look at Psalm 150 verse 4. Who's still on my side? Do you see why it's important to teach these things? You know, these are things people assume, but you know, you have to know the fundamental, the reason why you're doing it. Then you will do it properly. You will do it deliberately. You will do it with understanding. And then you will do it well. A lot of our praise and worship is not done well because it's done without understanding. Majority of the praise and worship of the so-called Word of Faith, Pentecostal, Charismatic Church is out of emotion. They hear a song they like, everybody starts. It's not because of God, it's because he likes the song. And he can't go to the disco anymore. But he can come to church. So the same thrill he gets in the disco, he now comes to church to express it. And I know it's not that is wrong. It's just that, you know, this person who is singing and he's not even meditating on the words. It's just he likes the tune. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. I speak from experience. In my teenage years, 1977, 76, that song was very popular. We sang it in parties. I had no clue what the song was about. You know, hey, you are here, and if we go, well, you know, once they put that tune on, everybody gets up to dance by the rivers, so, and we'll be going around in a circle. You know, I still remember we had no idea what the rivers of Babylon meant. We didn't know. We were just emotionally moved by the beat of the music and all of that. That's how many Christians still praise God. They like the tune. They like the beat. They was, you know, and all of that. But there is no connection to God. That's why this teaching is important. Psalm 150 verse 4. Oh, Jesus help me. We're going to close in a minute. You know, I'm the pastor, so I have rights to four closings, like Paul. Paul says, finally, then say, finally, then say, finally, and then say, finally. So I'm allowed. Amen. Yeah. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Thank you. Praise him with the string instruments and organ. Hallelujah. Can you see? The Bible is comprehensive. It tells you to praise with everything. And that's what we're going to do today. You know, and finally, it says in Psalm 76, thank God for David.
Thank God for David. See, in spite of David's mistake, you know, this secret he got, it saved him. God honored David because of how David had honored God and understood God. Now, the other part, this is the last part. Vow, I didn't hear you, and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. So there is the physical money too. There's a vow. I don't hear you. What is a vow? It's a promise. It's a pledge that you make to God. That, God, you've done this for me. You know, I will do this. Then you bring it. It's a physical, you know, this is money. You bring cash and physical offerings to give unto the Lord. I think there's one scripture which says that, you know, the things I vowed with my mouth when I was in trouble. Psalm 66, I believe it is. Thank you, Jesus. There we go. Yes. It says, verse 13, Psalm 66, verse 13. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. We don't do burnt offerings anymore. We do the spiritual offering. And I will pay thee my vow. We still do that one. We're still supposed to pay. That's why you bring money. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will bring money. Today is Thanksgiving service. Amen. 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 Don't come here empty-handed. Oh. And I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. God is watching. You know, people say a lot of things when they're in trouble. Then once God blesses them, they forget. They don't come back and pay the vow and fulfill the vow and pay what they have said. God doesn't like that. So let's give the Lord a super clap offering somewhere.